That's how the cookie crumbled.
Yeah. Or in Kalina's case, did not crumble because it was frozen solid.
Oh.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Top Chef Fantasy League, the podcast that confuses both sports fans and reality competition show watchers. I am your host and commissioner, Mike Cablon. With me are my co-hosts, Sierra Cotto and Iffy Wadiway. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
We are trying a new format tonight because we just watched the show minutes ago.
Ooh.
So we haven't had time to gather our thoughts. This is going to be real unorganized.
Completely raw.
We just mainlined Top Chef.
Truly.
And Last Chance Kitchen all at once. Yeah. So it's either a fresher mind or we haven't had enough time to process.
Right. Yeah. We'll see which way it goes. We have an update on the David Murphy situation.
Yeah.
You can protect your source, but give us the rundown
on
what you heard.
I'm protecting my source, but my source was allegedly on, well, not, my source was on set with someone who also allegedly worked on Top Chef, who said that David kind of got wind that he was getting the villain cut, and that's why he backed out, because he was mad about that. But at the end of the day, bro, you are the villain. You came in with that villain hat.
Oh my
God. You came in trying to roast. You was tall. You were very kind of hoity-toity, and you got clipped. And so that's why you got the villain cut. That's reality.
Which is crazy because Top Chef isn't even really a villain cut kind of show.
No, it's,
I mean, like, he looked bad, but only because he was cocky and didn't cook well.
I think it would have redeemed him a little bit if he had done Last Chance Kitchen, if that is indeed true. You know?
You could have softened up, been more personable. Mm-hmm. You would have been more supportive on your way after Suan destroyed you because he's a sniper. you know?
And then you'd be on the side. If you'd be on the sidelines and be cheering on people. So that can't be a villain on the sidelines.
Alicia is following us on Instagram. That's fun. That's just a small update.
Oh.
More and more chefs are starting to follow us. We got Alicia this week. Hi, Alicia. Thanks for following and listening. Let's dive in. Because that's what the show did. They just skipped right over the quick fire.
Wow.
Yeah.
No quick fire this week. Oh, I should also add that Iffy, I'm going to call you out, was late. So anything
there
you hear him say about the first half hour of the show, he's just going to go, because he wasn't there. He didn't see it.
Look, I was coming from a shoot. We all planned because, you know, and this is good because it actually is a perfect segue into what I was going to say. So far, we've been, you know, tapping in. If there's something in the show, we do it here. And you would think, they have nothing. No, they went on a road trip on this episode. I definitely had to be filled in for when I got here late. And Mike, you're going to be traveling.
So
that's true.
Going on your own road
I'm
trip.
I'm hitting the road tomorrow.
Kind of an air trip.
Yeah, an air trip.
Yep.
So that's what we did this week. But a shoot ran late and I got here halfway through it. But that was great because there wasn't a quick fire challenge. So I didn't
Didn't miss it. You missed a lot of like bonding, but not a lot of action.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So we learn right away that the elimination challenge is that the whole show is moving to Madison. We're out of Milwaukee now. Mm. They're taking the Frank Lloyd Wright Trail to see all of the works of Frank Lloyd Wright. Danny interjects by saying that his dad is an architect, and his dad's work is in the realm of Frank Lloyd Wright, so he feels very comfortable here.
Wow.
He said he has a passion for architecture, and that ends up paying off for him later on.
Yes.
Tom explains that a lot of Frank Lloyd Wright's architecture is inspired by this notion of compress and release. Mm. You know, a nice low ceiling, and then it opens into a really big space.
Yes.
And so the challenge is to do two dishes inspired by Frank Lloyd Wright with a theme of duality, and it is a team challenge. That also means it is a double elimination, which we have talked about many a time on this podcast.
Yeah.
Real easy to hide behind a strong team member or get sandbagged by a weak team member.
This is the most dangerous.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
Although I would argue that this week, neither of those things happened. I think the bottom was like bad and the top was good.
I think it helps when they're able to, and I know we'll get to this, pick their own partners because you see that the strong ones tend to kind of go together.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe people who are not really sure kind of end up landing together, and then maybe they don't end up working too well together.
Right, right. The only notable thing I'll say here, Michelle and Charlie decide to join a team, and right away we find out that Michelle's immunity from last week extends to Charlie, so they are both safe this week.
I can't tell you how good it is seeing both my team members, you know, using it on each other, because I'm like, okay, cool. So I know two are safe because, you know, it's been a bloodbath.
For, I think, the first time this season, you don't have to sweat this episode.
I was
huge.
Completely dry watching this episode.
So everyone hops into their BMW X1s. Everyone take a shot. That's real obvious product placement for BMW there. We find out that our guest judges this week are Dominique Krenn, who is a very notable three-star Michelin chef. For those of you at home who aren't foodies, she was the culinary consultant on The Menu. Maybe you saw that movie.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. How funny. Yeah. She just looks to me like she's out of Ratatouille or, you know, Devil Wears Prada on the French side of the magazine. You know what I mean? Like very chic. Very,
With those suits too. And I was like, okay. Yeah.
Intimidating is, I think, the key.
Definitely. Yeah. Which I, once again, you know, and I don't want to come off as anti-French.
It's every too late. Week it's with too this late. Guy.
But I definitely feel like that's the vibe they try and have where it's like, I can end your whole career right now.
Yeah. You know? People were nervous to serve her.
Exactly.
Well, we learned that Kevin had Dominique Krenn as a judge when he was on Top Chef France, and they had a very nice rapport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they couldn't wait to speak French. They couldn't wait to have that repertoire.
Wow. Oh, look who's speaking French.
I know.
Yeah, you get in there. You can talk to Dominique.
Our other guest judge is Buddha Low, two-time champion of Top Chef.
Seen both the seasons. I mean, it was pretty recent, you know.
Sure.
I mean, and always a hilarious, like, he would always bring his little molds and
famous
make something
for bringing
beautiful.
Molds,
yeah. So it was good to see him again. And I thought he would be, you know, more intense because he's an intense contestant. And so I thought, oh, now it's like when the frat boy comes back after Ben Hayes and he's like, hey, freshman, you know, hey, get, you know, whatever you guys do. But he was actually he seemed very sweet and reasonable.
Level-headed. Yeah. Came back at the end to give the chefs a little pep talk.
True. Yeah, that was nice.
We'll get to that. And I would say that the next 20 minutes of the show is just a lot of road tripping. It really felt like, okay, every week, I feel like there is a chunk of the episode where you go, that's where the extra 15 minutes is.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It does. It felt a little long. Maybe they're waiting for Iffy. Maybe they're he's on the road. He's in traffic.
We have to wait for him to come. But also, I feel like they probably get huge tax breaks shooting in these specific places like a Wisconsin.
Sure.
That wants, you know, people to move there and tourists.
Right.
So they need all these, like, they're,
you think,
like,
it was like contractually obligated time?
I think,
like, you gotta have 20 minutes of Wisconsin time.
Oh yeah. And there's like a certain, like, there's an agreed upon amount of time that's like Wisconsin, like, beauty shots that they need to have across the whole season. They're like, we got a road trip, we can knock it out this season.
Yeah. So we look at a bunch of Frank Lloyd Wright works. I want to point out that Amanda, when talking to one of the tour guides, goes, when was Frank Lloyd Wright's birthday? And then the woman gives the answer and she goes, a Gemini.
Amazing.
It's like, Amanda, you're really playing your own character game here.
Yeah. It was a great moment.
I love it. I also, you know, another Frank Lloyd Wright fact I wanted to drop is I on the couch was like, he's a playwright.
Right.
And that was wrong. I was mixing it up with Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Oh, yes. Another Lloyd middle name.
Very different.
Throw that Lloyd in the middle.
Rename Lloyd middle name.
Yeah. I would have been really surprised because he's so busy building these beautiful buildings.
It's hard to do two things really
prolific.
Well.
But I imagine if you're like, ooh, this arch makes me think of cats. What if they were jackals?
Sure, in between projects, go make a hit.
It's like, it's really hard to, like, make a living as a full-time architect. You got to wait for the next commission. So in between, you pen a whole musical.
I mean, and then I guess that makes money.
Notoriously easy to make money in Broadway.
Yes.
So the chefs get to the drafting room where Frank Lloyd Wright did his work, and they start planning out their menus. Already, we start to see a rift between Alicia and Kalina.
Oh, my God.
Go ahead.
Oh, I mean, I think you're going to say this, but, like, during the whole time we were like, oh God, they keep talking to them, and we're like, okay, maybe it's the thing where, because obviously I have Alicia, you had Kalina, so it's like, maybe it's the thing where they're going to twist it at the end. They're just showing them struggling because it was so obvious.
If you show a person a lot throughout the episode, it's hard to tell whether they're going to do good or bad, but it's like, for sure something's going to happen.
Something significant. They're not going to be in the middle and never talk to again, you know?
Yeah.
So it was definitely like, oh, maybe holding out a little bit, but then, you know, it just kept getting worse.
Yeah, because I was going to just say quickly that they were fighting over little things. The one I wrote was One was like, we should call it land and water. And the other one's like, how about land and sea? And it's like, you shouldn't be arguing over sea versus water. Yeah, that's never. Already kind of a bad sign.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was going to touch on is the fact that, there. I feel like there were a few of these duality picks that either were too simplistic or just too... What are you even talking about?
Mm-hmm. Very strange. Yeah. Seemed like a tough one. And like, yeah. And even now that you reiterate the land and water, land and sea, I think there was like, maybe, I don't know who it was, but I'm leaning maybe Alicia, and look, she's on my team, but where it's like, if you are particular, it is hard to work with someone else. And maybe they're both particular, but it just seemed like there was no giving. And it was all like, hey, this is what, you know, a sea and water being like the beginning. It's like somebody should just be like, okay, water. If you want to do water, you know.
This is a classic. This happens in like every field of work. You know what I mean? Which is you kind of have like two personalities that don't mesh well.
Yes.
Ugh, and you could see it right away, which is hard to watch unfold for the whole episode. On the other hand, Amanda and Dan both bonded over being nerds. They call themselves self-professed nerds.
Yeah. So cute.
Yeah. And dubbed themselves Demanda.
Which I had already thought, oh, what would be their name? You know, thinking ahead, thinking like, we're going to do the podcast after.
Yeah.
I had landed on Amandan, which I think makes sense.
It's right there.
Yeah.
But then they're like, and we're Demanda. And then it was cute. They agreed on that really stupid name. So I guess they are doing great. But yeah, the nerds thing was cute. They showed little pictures of them being nerds, which is funny. Like, imagine the producer being like, hey, so can I get any pictures of you guys being nerds? And then being like, I've got a whole album.
Yeah. Any picture of me.
Perfect. Yeah.
All right. So we got Demanda. Everyone agrees that Roska and Danny are the biggest threat because they are very technical. They both worked at the French Laundry together.
Both on my team.
Both on your team, which we'll get to in the points. You had a real big week for Sierra. But yeah, so we start to get into the cook. Roska and Danny, their duality is similar and different, or as they said, very marketing lingo-y, seemingly similar, strikingly different.
Oh, yeah.
They really put a spin on it.
Oh, yeah.
But then in their cook... They're like living up to their own stereotype. Everyone's like, oh, those are the snipers. Got to watch out for them. And sure enough, they're calling out like, hey, this has got to be 2.5 millimeters wide. You know what I mean? They're like precise with their cuts.
Filleting the cucumber, like perfect parallel. Crazy.
But it did work out. They had these real dual dishes, a scallop mousse and a dal quenelle. It comes out right away. And Tom says, this feels architectural.
Yeah, I mean,
because of those precise cuts.
Yeah, they have those little lines, and it's like that. You know,
one's green, one's those red. Slats.
Yeah, it was really a strong start.
Yeah, they don't play.
They definitely do not play.
But they don't play.
Right, I know they run. They drove.
I might be going out of order here, but that's because we just watched the episode. My notes aren't organized. That's okay. Michelle and Charlie end up doing chicken and egg as their duality. Which, give me your thoughts on this. Is that a duality? It feels like two things that are said frequently in the same sentence, but it's not like saying like up and down or east and west. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like it makes sense when they say the what came first, the chicken or the egg. Right. But I also agree, it's like, yeah, it feels like a stretch.
One turns into the other.
It feels like a first draft pick as far as like ideas for what to do, and it also feels like an excuse to do what they do best.
Yes, which like, to their credit, they did.
Yeah,
it also feels like they're chefs and they just pick two ingredients. Do you know?
Everyone else is
like, here's like a conceptual theme, and they're like, how about two things in the kitchen?
Right, that we can definitely do. And then, I mean, also, I was like, I think that one of them mentioned like kind of reminds me of like egg or something.
Yes, when they were looking at a building. They're like, that's like egg. And
but
like,
then I did. They never said that at the thing. Maybe they cut it out at the table. But I was just like, well,
they because what happened is they said it at the table and they asked for an explanation, and it was like 30 minutes long, and they're like, we gotta cut it for time.
Yeah. Let's not. But yeah, I agreed. I think it's a little bit whatever. Like, but I guess I could see, you know, if you're really thinking, like, they look very different, so you could have very different visuals.
Yeah. So that's what they presented quality wise. When it came time to judging, it seemed like to me the overall impression I got was that the judges were like, This is technically bad, but it tastes good enough that they're in the middle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think Michelle's was like good. Like, I think the main thing was maybe Charlie's eggshell was kind of weird, and then they didn't have a lot of egg in it.
They said that Michelle's biscuit was crumbly.
Oh, right.
Which is easy to do with a biscuit, common mistake.
Sure, sure.
But it is a thing where they were like, but it is a good enough biscuit that we don't really care that much.
Right, and they had two good bites right away, so they're probably craving that after having some not so good
and stuff. And it's lines like that it's lines like that that make me realize that Michelle most definitely is a sleeping dragon. Because when you're fucking up and still getting compliments, it's
when your food is so undeniably good that even like technical issues do not affect how people feel about it.
Yes, that's something's good in there. I mean, even Dominique Crenn was like, I feel like I can feel the love in the cooking or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So it's like it came through, and I think she was specifically talking about Michelle. So it was like, and you just got here, so it's not like you've seen her best, right? Like,
it is definitely, that's such a good point. Yeah, you just got here and you're doing it. Also, we know how the French look down on Americans. So
here we go. All right, let's hear them out, everyone. This is also where I should point out that Charlie had trouble with his ISI, which, as we know, loses him 0.25 points.
Oh, I thought we gained points. No.
No, trouble with a pressure cooker or an ISI is minus 0.25.
Unfortunately.
I don't know why I remembered it as a positive.
I was pleased that every time, because every episode, all the chefs use an ISI, and I'm like, one of these has to fail at some point. It happens at least once a season.
Oh, yeah.
And this particular challenge, every dish felt like it had a little mousse or a little dollop of something on it, and I was waiting for it to happen. It's such a nice payoff to see someone.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like a real hot potato.
Yeah, exactly. Dan and Amanda, or as they would say, Demanda.
As they would say.
Chose to go with poverty and wealth as a duality. I think this is a really nice one.
Sure, It fit in with the theme because they had visited the low-income housing or Burnham Block. And I felt like it was, pretty clever with the, what kind of reminded me of was Last Chance Kitchen when they did the lesser ingredients, high-end recipe. So even though they hadn't seen that aspect of it. It was a much clearer concept, I think, than everybody else.
Seemed like good execution. I mean, even speaking to what you just said, when Dan was like, this dish is three ingredients, just looking at it, the way it looked, I'm like, there's no way it's three ingredients. Yes. It looks
very creative.
So well done. I wanted to point out that Dan was doing his little mousse thing, and he said, that's some Buddha stuff right there, which is funny that, like, Buddha is so notorious in his style that people are like, oh, this is like a Buddha dish.
Even as recent as, the winner from not too long ago, it's already got his style down.
Yeah. Manny and Kevin choose to do dark and light, which I think is classic duality. That's more on theme. Their execution wasn't great, but the story was dark and light. So they do a chicken and mushroom fiori, which I've never heard of. The spiral pasta looked so good.
Right.
I want to find a restaurant that does that.
I know. Beautiful. I wanted to taste that so
good. Yeah, it looked really good.
And then Kevin trots out what he does best, which is a pastry. He does a warm praline chocolate mousse. It looked delicious. Mm. Looked delicious being the key here because, as Tom said, it's a good story, but it doesn't have a happy ending because the pasta was not well made. Wow. The farce had the texture of tuna fish, said Kristen Kish.
Ooh, never good.
You know, my boy, man. I mean, both of these boys are my boys. Oh, we missed this up top. They said...
Oh, yes.
They said that because they were both in the bottom last week, that they've coined themselves the power bottoms. A joke they made once and then promptly never made again for the rest of the episode.
Listen, it definitely fit.
It definitely
them
fit.
Them two together, and they're both strapping meals.
Manny, I think I'm picking up what you're putting down, and I hope you find, you get those pings on.
You hope people are sliding into his DMs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was funny, too. Kevin even was like, well, Manny was doing something, and
the whole table was shaking.
Like, Kevin was like, that guy's even bigger than he is as far as, muscles and
But they're both big.
But big guys.
Big, handsome guys.
Yeah.
And Manny wants us to let know he's a power bottom. Don't let that muscle fool you.
Right.
Alas, he could not make good pasta.
Brutal.
But the team was saved by Kevin's dessert, which was really good.
Yes.
I loved it.
Once again, I think that lands you firmly in the middle. If one dish is good, one dish is bad, it's double elimination. you're kind of saved by your better teammate there.
Yeah.
Laura and Savannah decide to do comfortable, uncomfortable as their duality.
When this popped up on the screen, I was like, what are we doing here?
And this
what
is your first introduction to it, because you walk in, you don't get to hear them, the genesis of the idea. You just sit down, you see the little lower third.
Yeah, I see duality, comfortable, uncomfortable. And I think I did immediately turn to you and say, what is this? What do they mean?
A definite weird thing of like, they said that, and then when they presented the dish, they're like, well, we were talking about compression and release and how mm-hmm. when you're compressed, you're uncomfortable, and you're released, you are comfortable, which, okay, then I'm like, okay, I can kind of visualize it more, but then it's like, whoa, make sure you come back to that comfortable, uncomfortable, because that's probably not what's coming from the compression. There's no compression release in here. You know what I mean? So it was maybe like that was already complicated, and then it got overcomplicated.
Well, it just reminded me of like early improv days when you would get like, you know, maybe a suggestion, or you would get like, you know, a story from the audience, and someone would do a scene and you go, oh, what part of the story
did you
get that from?
Yeah, and they're like, well,
because, you know, it's like when the bing bong happens to the blip blur and then the zing zang, and it's like, I don't know why you expected all of us to take
sure.
That's what I feel like with the comfortable, uncomfortable, because like on paper, I see why you would think like the compression and then the opening up would be comfort and discomfort. But I think even with the compression, it's still a home. It's still somewhere you have to walk through. I don't think it's discomfort. I think it's just like a change in shape.
Right.
Which like big and large.
They went with comfortable.
Big and large
are
the same thing. My bad.
Small and large.
I didn't even catch that.
Big and large. I mean, yeah.
Big and large.
Large sounds bigger than big.
I think. Actually, I take everything back. When you're under pressure, you can.
It's really hard.
We can never.
Are you a fan of pattern game? We can take a detour into improv. Did you ever do improv stuff? Or are you strictly stand up?
No, I took some classes.
Okay.
But I don't know if I know pattern game.
Well, it's a good way to get from A to C. It spells it out for the audience so everyone knows how you got from the suggestion to whatever premise you're doing. Cool. Mm-hmm. And I always hated it, but I do see the value in spelling out for the audience, hey, we're going to do a scene based off your suggestion. Here's how we got there.
Yeah, but also spelling it out for your scene partners for the exact reason we just went through all that, where it's like knife.
Sharp.
You're like, what?
Needles, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and you're like, okay, well, we know you got that, and I'm glad, because how the hell did you get that? Anyway.
Is this fun for the audience when we detour into improv, one of the worst art forms in the world? We detour away from one of the most popular shows on television to talk about improv comedy.
Yeah. I think
Everyone's gotta do it, especially
if people, because, you know, Brother Son had a huge improv state. And I feel like
Brother Son is a huge hit, as we all know.
It should be.
If you're watching this like 10 years in the future, Brother Son got canceled a month ago.
I heard it was popular, but then just it's hard to get a second season.
I don't know. Netflix is so bad at like pushing shows. Like if you think of every like Netflix smash outside of Stranger Things, which I think early days, if I remember correctly, it's all word of mouth.
Yes.
Like Bird Box blew up because of the memes.
Yeah.
Everything on Netflix is a smash because it is like highly clippable things that people will go on. Like even like, you know, friend of the pod, Nicole Byer, what's up? You're not listening. nailed it. Like it was so funny. The fucked up dishes, so you can post it online. And people are like, what show is this?
Right.
Like all shows are doing their own marketing, and then when one doesn't do well, it's like you had Michelle Yeoh, who was like one of the biggest names, and you're not putting it all over everywhere.
It was
probably a phenomenal, but the connection, the reason I brought it up is because it talks about food a lot. It's like it has a big food through line.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of y'all who would be listening to this probably watch The Brother's Son and also would be like, what's that improv? Okay, I literally just did the A to C that we were just making
fun
of.
That was great.
This is
a master class on improv.
Yeah, I like the Top Chef Fantasy League Brother's Son crossover.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll be what we do once the season of Top Chef wraps to keep this podcast going. We'll just talk about The Brother's Son. Canceled Netflix shows that didn't get enough marketing.
Or
we'll do a chef watch along where we watch the chef TV show.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh.
You know, they opened the chef. We'll get back to the show in a second. They opened the chef food truck.
Really?
The food truck from the movie Chef that makes the Cuban sandwiches is open in, I think, Vegas.
Oh, nice.
And it's possible to get a Jon Favreau Cuban sandwich. No. Anyway. Oh, I wrote that there is an extended shot of Morton Salt, but nobody said, like, this is the Morton Salt challenge. So
yeah.
I just, like, yeah. I think that Morton pays for, like, a lesser tier of sponsorship.
Yeah, let's, yeah, you know, I know we're trying to get through this, but I do feel like
we're never going to make it through this episode.
There's a level of sponsorship that is that, because the amount of Red Mill kind of subliminal marketing.
Sure.
That
I've seen, yeah, yeah.
Because it's one thing to like see it and it's like, oh, you're cooking with it, but it's always like camera open to camera.
Right.
When
right.
we see
label
a Red
out.
Mill.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, paying some money Mill, because there are other items that we don't even know they're using.
Yeah. Like you said about Wisconsin, the Morton Salt shot was like a steady 5 second. Like, I feel like it was a contractually obligated 5 second shot
I'm
of just the label of Morton Salt.
Yeah.
That subliminal messaging, I totally succumb to that. Like, I think that's actually sometimes more powerful because you're like not hit over the head by it, but you're like, oh, that's what the chefs are using. Okay, I should get that next time.
Yeah.
That's what they like.
Non-subliminal messaging also works. I, once again, really want a BMW X1.
Oh,
I really want a BMW X1. This is so stupid. Kalina and Alicia. Okay, yeah, this is the last scene we should talk about, right? They decide on land and sea, not land and water.
For some reason.
And they both mess up. Kalina, she says she's making this crust off memory and it needs to freeze for a couple hours. And Alicia's kind of like, I will stand Alicia's sort of like skeptical side eye. She's kind of rolling her eyes, and she's also trying to get past that every time she's like, hey, we're a team, we should be working together, and she's like, I feel like we're not working together, but she is visibly annoyed for the whole challenge, and I do kind of love that, just personality wise
just like not feeling it. And because it is always funny when you have someone who is very much very obviously not helping you know, not helping the drama of it all, but still being like, we're a team. And it's like, yeah, you want to like lead by example at all?
Sure. Yeah. I did. Like, it was, I was interested in like the fact that she did go and she's like, oh God, you know, why would I go over there? Like, there was a lot of like muttering to oneself for both of them. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh, what's going to happen when they meet? And then it was like, we need to be acting as a team. Okay. That ended up being all right. You know what I mean? But it's like, if that's brewing in the back of your head while you're, even if you're saying the right words, it's like, it's going to come through. Right.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm wondering if it's kind of like, it's definitely personalities clashing. I'm like, Alicia maybe has been a private chef for a while. So I don't know if she's like not really
that's
been,
a good point. I didn't
you
think
know,
about
working
that.
In the group setting in a, I don't know how private chefs work, but you know, maybe there's a little bit of that. And I mean, look, all the contestants are used to often being on as executive chefs and having their word be the one. So I think it's hard for these alphas to like take a backseat sometimes. But yeah, I mean, some people did it, so clearly it's
some
possible.
People did it. They did not. Both of their dishes got eviscerated by the chefs. For the mushroom cheesecake that Kalina made, Tom said the bottom crust you could put in an MRE, which I think is an MRE is a meal ready to eat. It's like military food.
Oh, right. That's why I said hardtack.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
Yeah. Okay, MRE.
It's like food that doesn't expire, so you can send it out in the field and it'll do.
Yeah.
No soldier ever likes eating it. You just eat it because you have to, because that's your rations.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is, I think, one of the worst things you can say to a chef.
Yeah.
This is MRE level food.
Right. It's only for sustenance.
For Alicia's agua chile, Tom says it's like a first year culinary student trying to do a fancy dish, which is also.
That's quite an insult. He was coming hard
was
in
really
this episode,
hard.
But so funny. We laugh every time because he's just really seems to have amped up the insult meter. But, you know, that's what you got to do. It's season 21, you know?
Yeah, you got to keep the ratings up somehow.
Yeah.
It's like Tom treats every week like it's sweeps week. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
Is that an old reference?
I'm not sure if I know, but I believe you.
Do they still do that? Is that still
what
a thing?
What?
Sweeps. Okay. In the 90s, every TV show had their big stunt episode where it's like, we got a huge celebrity, or like, they're finally gonna kiss, or whatever, because it was sweeps week, which was like the week when Nielsen ratings mattered the most.
Oh, okay.
So it was like, we need the most amount of people to tune in during this week. And some shows would explicitly say it on air. They would talk about how
please.
Important sweeps week is, and how they would funny. Say it to, you know, Michael Jackson or whoever the big celebrity that week was.
Okay. Yeah. I did not know that term, but I feel like that makes total sense. There's always got to be like, so you're saying he's like,
every week Tom is like dialing up, like the whole, like the show being canceled or not hinges on whether or not he can maintain an audience of 10 million people.
Perfect. He's doing it.
He's really doing it. There's not a big discussion from the judges about who the winners and the losers are, because they're like so clearly just
this was you it, and you have to understand how stark it had to have been for them to not even try and build on the drama. They're like, yeah. no, this is what it is. Right. Let's just get straight to it.
And it and is kind of a bummer because it feels like a waste of both Dominique Crenn and Buddha Lowe.
Oh, I yeah. know.
Because
yeah,
I would
right.
like to hear their input on Dishes, but everyone just kind of sat back and went, that meal sucked, right?
Yeah.
Right. They're like, yeah, all in yeah. agreement. And then I think even in the deliberation or whatever, in the waiting room, all the contestants were like still kind of recovering from being yeah. done. And then it was like, oh shoot, Kristen's here, you know?
Yes.
I think they were shocked to see her because it was a fast
Because
decision.
It was so fast. Mm-hmm. There was no time to stew in the stew room.
Right, right. So,
so Kristen walks in and says, we would like to see Danny and Rossica and Kalina and Alicia, and then leaves the room, and immediately all the chefs look around like, well, we all know what's about to happen.
I mean, yeah, yeah, it's so clear.
Yeah, it was the most almost anticlimactic on all sides, where everyone yeah. was like, yep, that's how the cookie crumbled.
Yeah, or in Kalina's case, did not crumble because it was frozen solid.
Oh,
sorry.
10 out of 10.
Thank you.
I'm willing to give you a point for that.
Yeah, I don't feel good about it because Kalina cries on her way out of the steward room to the judge's table, which is hard to watch. But anyway, they know. They get out there. There isn't even a lot of like lead up. They just go, Kalina and Alicia, please pack your knives and go. The aguachile was bad. The cheesecake was bad.
Oh, yeah. Did we get a little, I wasn't sure, a little like voice break crack from Kristen on the pack your knives.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was sweet. And I, you know, I was like, oh, I mean, I kind of was surprised because it's still early in the season, you know, mm-hmm. like, you know, but not as cold as a Padma pack your knives.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I feel like in 20 seasons or 19, I guess, Padma only shed a tear like a handful of times.
Oh, sure.
Like you could tell when she was affected. She's like, I don't want to send you right. home, but I have to send you home. Was,
yeah.
You know, and I think it's just the different connection, right? Like Padma has always just been the host and like as the host, it's like, this is how it rolls. Whereas, you know, Kristen Kish knows how they feel.
Yeah.
Has
she's been in their there. Shoes. She's been there.
So like, it, like I think even the earliness is what made her crack so much where it's like, oh, I know this is when it sucks.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. You yeah, know? Yeah. Yeah, and feeling like they it was their fault maybe rather than going home for like, hey, right. I did my best, you know, and they're mm-hmm. like, I didn't prove myself yet. Both of them, they're not really down on that. Mm-hmm.
So even though Danny and Rosca both win the challenge, there is still a favorite dish because they can't give immunity to two people, and it ends up being Rosca. So Rosca gets immunity next week, and she gets really emotional because she's cooking this South Indian food. And she's like, people don't get it. And the judges got it. And she feels really good. And it's a really nice, uplifting moment.
Very sweet.
But then Kristen comes in with Buddha at the end of the episode and kind of gives all the chefs a little talking to.
Yeah.
And is like, y'all got to step up because that meal was bad.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And Buddha's even there. Yeah, it's kind of funny because, you know, I was wondering if like, did they need to fill extra time because there was no deliberation? Like, or was it because they're just like, this was actually
bad? I feel like it was that bad.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I feel like they don't do this that often. There have only been a couple times when after a challenge, the judges have come in. And I think it's nice that Kristen and Buddha both did it because like you said, they've done this job before. So it feels less like mom and dad yelling at you. It's more like your older siblings being like, hey, you got to step it up for mom and dad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's only been the most notable example I can think of. I can't remember what season. There was one season where they did Restaurant Wars over again. Do you remember that?
Oh, kind
of. I vaguely remember
there
that.
There was a season where basically Tom Colicchio came in after they had eaten at both restaurants and went, that was so bad that we're going to do Restaurant Wars again.
Oh, my God.
And both teams had to like reconfigure their menus and dishes. And that's like the most notable example. And that's like the one out of maybe three times I can think of where the judges came back after the meal and were like, hey, you got to do better next time because this is Top Chef and it's not good TV if everyone is bad.
Yeah. My theory is just that, you know, a lot of them had a hard time with the last challenge and then this one happened. I think that they were like, let's give you just a little quick talking to and say, it's time to step it up.
Yeah.
All right. And then Amanda was like, thank you for talking to us.
Total teacher's pet. Total nerd. Living up to that nerd title. Jeez Louise, thank you.
It's like, we needed this, yes. No, I love Amanda, though.
Yeah, we love Amanda.
Yeah,
but it was objectively a teacher
like
set move.
Yeah, I was like, I could see myself probably saying that in like third grade, you know?
Love Amanda, on my team, was happy I picked you, haven't been mad about it. Definitely if I was on the show, you would have heard a... You would have got one of those.
It's a real like, I'm gonna pick you up and shove you in a locker now.
Yeah.
It's very like, teacher, you didn't collect our homework. And everyone's like, shut up.
Oh god.
Okay, so then we move on to Last Chance Kitchen. Both Alicia and Kalina walk in, and we hear a very obvious ADR from Tom explaining how the show works, because certainly they had to gloss over a conversation where once again they walk in and go, where's David? Who's this guy? What's happening?
Oh my gosh. But every time.
I do. So my new theory is Su-an was always going to come, and that David and Su-an were going to duke it out. Then Su-an was supposed to make his way through all those
folks. Basically think Su-an had to do 6 challenges instead of 5 to get back in the competition.
Yes.
Interesting. Oh,
but then the David challenge, or like him against David,
saying,
was off-screen.
No, I was saying he was supposed to. Yeah, he was supposed to take out all of them, including David. And I think that would have been the surprise, where it's like the first Last Chance Kitchen. Normally, you have to wait, but now you got to throw hands with Su-an. And my last update, something that M has wanted me to get on record on the pod, is that she thinks Su-an is hot.
Well, we all do.
Yeah, that's not news.
As soon as he was there, we all just
he's a married man, everybody. He's a married man. But he didn't say he missed his wife.
Yeah. Yes, okay, so here's a point of debate. He talks extensively about his wife and going back to Chicago. Does not actually say, I miss my wife. So my inclination is no points.
No points. Yeah,
yeah, that's okay. Because I think, too, he was saying it more in the idea of, like, so I want to win so I can, like, go back to her with, like, cash.
Yeah. Yeah. He wants to provide. Be a good husband.
So I almost get the sense that, he, like, it's not like, oh, I don't want to be here anymore. It's like, I don't know.
Win. Which does make him hotter. That he's like, I want to provide for my new wife.
I want to be away and only providing. That is. Okay. All right.
Well, M thinks Sue is hot. Great.
Sure. Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I feel good. You know, we're E&M. You know, if Sue, you know, wants to slide in the DMs, you know, go ahead. Just make sure I got my Alinity set up. And oh my god, it sounds like
Alinity.
The restaurant he works at.
Oh, good. No, it's
Adelina.
Put me up. And I'm just, you know. I mean, you can do whatever you want. I felt like when I said hook me up with Adelina, it sounded very transactional, and that's not what it is.
This is not a quid pro quo.
We're just freaks who like to eat.
Listen, we wouldn't be doing a Top Chef podcast
if we weren't fully ready to go to these damn restaurants right away. We will sell our souls to be invited to any of these restaurants.
They're like, you can get a reservation.
No.
You don't have to give us anything.
Yeah. Oh,
you can just walk in.
Yeah.
Okay. The Last Chance Kitchen Challenge is to choose a vessel and use that as an inspiration for your dish. You have 30 minutes and 2 people move on. So I think we're going to continue to have another 3-person Last Chance Kitchen next week. So they pick out their vessels. Alicia picks a scallop dish or a scallop shaped dish.
Yeah.
Because she does the classic cardinal sin of, I know I got out on seafood, but I'm going to prove I can do seafood.
She wanted to do scallops, but they didn't have scallops.
They didn't have scallops, so she had to do shrimp.
Also, I just was feeling that she chose one of the smaller ones, too, which I'm like, all things considered, even if you make a banger dish, I feel like you're going to get the note that it's such a small dish.
Yeah. I feel like in 30 minutes, maybe it's grading on a curve a little where it's like, just make me one good bite because you only have 30 minutes to cook, you know?
Right.
So she chooses that. Kalina chooses a little 3-part dish.
Maybe.
Because she makes the cardinal sin of saying, I want to do one dish 3 ways.
Mm.
I think Tom is famously quoted in one of the earlier seasons as saying, instead of doing a dish 2 ways bad, do it 1 way good.
Oh, okay.
Or something like
that. I feel like I remember that. Yeah, I mean, and I, since you were talking about how small the scallop was, like comparatively, it's like, Jesus, and then you're doing these 3 things. You know, and we see how she pulls it off, but like that was kind of a shocking, difference.
You know, but I do want to talk about how there was a little kind of shade thrown at that pick by Kalina. And Kalina ends up winning with it, so it's like, damn, maybe you are the negative Nancy in that pairing.
Maybe.
Hard to say.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I feel like we're endeared to Alicia, so we don't want to call her a negative Nancy.
Yeah, I know. Sure. Thanks for
thanks for following or listening. If you are, we Alicia. Love you.
Sue picks out a little gift box shaped vessel, and he seems a little rattled by the challenge. I think that Kalina and Alicia both had the advantage of having come directly from a challenge where they had to take inspiration from like an object. And Sue is like, wait, what? Food inspired by a thing?
Yeah.
But he decides to go with a little gift box, and he does a turf and surf lamb carpaccio on top, and then a grilled halibut and strawberry bisque on the inside.
He's a crazy man.
Which Tom was really iffy about.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have said your name.
No, you should. I actually.
Tom was on the fence about the strawberry bisque, but he said it wasn't too sweet. So Kalina and Sue end up winning, and Alicia goes home, packs her knives, and leaves.
Unfortunate.
We'll see Kalina and Sue in next week's Last Chance Kitchen. Let's do our points breakdown. As a reminder, you can find our scoring rules on Instagram at Top Chef Fantasy League. This week, there was no quickfire, no points there. Judges table, we'll call Danny and Rossica because they were the only ones on top there. They had the best dishes. And I will also say they both won the elimination challenge. Even though Rossica's the one with immunity, they both win because they won as a team. So that's 2 points there. Last Chance Kitchen was Kalina and Sue. They both get 0.5 for winning that challenge. Charlie loses 0.25 for having trouble with his ISI, which means you're huffing.
Charlie.
So at the end of this episode, here's our total gainage. Sierra, you gain a whopping 6.5 points.
Wow. Feels good.
That's like 2 weeks worth of points.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. Danny and Rossica.
True.
Running buddies, running straight to the top.
Yeah. And you had no way of knowing when you drafted both of them that they would
be like buddies. Yeah,
exactly.
This could have been a joint effort where someone else was getting points.
You could have had a Kalina Alicia situation where it's like two strong chefs butt heads.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm surprised. I would have thought, you know, just not. Like before the show started airing, I would have thought Danny would be a little bit more like strict because his pedigree is like, you know, he's been through all these things. He does the Bocuse d'Or, you know, and same with Rossica too, possibly. But yeah, they both seem like very cool, chill people. And Danny had great fashion this week too. I forgot to mention.
Yeah.
Top.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Cool hat, cool loose tee.
He's got cool style in general.
Yeah. So I feel like, yeah, I got lucky for sure.
Yeah. Okay. I'm right in the middle, and that's not saying much because I gained a measly 0.5 for Kalina in Last Chance Kitchen.
Yeah.
Iffy, you are in dead last, losing 0.25 this week. You have taken a step back.
Oh,
how?
No.
How to take one step forward and 0.25 steps back?
Here's what our leaderboard looks like currently. Iffy, you are in last place with a total of 6 points. Your total for the whole season is less than the amount of points that Sierra gained this episode alone.
No. Yes.
Yes, yes.
Yep.
I am in the middle with 9.25 points. Fine, normal, average. Sierra, you're in the lead with 16.25 points. You are over 10 points ahead of Iffy.
Okay, yeah. It's true. Yeah. I mean, listen, I lost a person this episode.
You did
episode,
lose
though.
A person this week. Yeah, that's true.
Doesn't bode great for the future. But yeah, I'm glad that, you know,
you
my
have
top...
fewer chefs on your team. Mm-hmm. So technically fewer opportunities to gain points.
Right, right.
But you have such strong point getters that it almost doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That's the hope.
You have essentially the front runner of the season on your team.
Are you talking Rossica or are you talking
Rossica,
Danny?
Rossica, yeah. All the way. I think it's looking like they're building a story. And I think Rossica is a stellar chef on her own. So I feel very comfortable just saying this, but I feel like it's also like to like the first season of this dope queer chef, and then this dope queer chef wins it. I'm like, you know, we know the chefs are just doing it with their skills, but it is like a picture perfect story.
I will also say, Dylan's brought this up before, which is like, when Padma was hosting, it was difficult to cook Indian food because she was so good about it. Like, she just knew exactly.
No one wanted to cook Indian food for Padma.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely didn't want to do it. And then also she could, you know what's wrong pretty easily.
Yeah.
So this is kind of a first opportunity where Padma's not host. Well,
but I will also say, and I put this in the hands of two other people of color hosts, we know more than everyone that people from our cultures all have different opinions on the same exact situation, which is where,
that's
like,
true.
Yeah, this could have been a season where Padma's like, oh, no, this wasn't right. And it's like stellar. And it's like, no, it's because you didn't cook it like Padma's mom made it.
Right.
No,
right.
Of course. It's very subjective.
That is the nature of culture and how it goes. And I think you're right. Just free wheel to not have someone's grandma fucking your shit up.
Right.
I think that does it for us this week. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any thoughts or suggestions, drop us a line on Instagram at Top Chef Fantasy League. If you're doing your own fantasy league, please tag us. We love seeing your team names and stuff. To watch full unedited episodes, you can check us out on YouTube. Thanks again to my co-host Sierra and Iffy. We'll be back on Monday next. Oh, you guys will be back on Monday next week. I'm going to skip a week because I'm going on my air trip. So I'm excited to hear what you guys put together without me.
We'll make sure to judge the points a little.
I'm gonna come back and go, if he's in the lead by 1,000 points, that's weird.
You must have not seen the same episode.
Top Chef Fantasy League is hosted and produced by Mike Cavalon, Sierra Kato, and Iffy Wadiwe. Our theme song is composed by Dylan Van Auken. Special thanks to Jarvis Johnson. Follow us on Instagram and YouTube at Top Chef Fantasy League.